Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's the Search Update.
John McClain says it's down to Leslie Frazier and David Coley. Frazier got his second interview yesterday. Coley's getting his today.
Who?
Leslie Frazier was a head coach for the Minnesota Vikings for a few seasons. There's some good things about Leslie Frazier. There's a lot to like, although the Texans are the only team that interviewed him. David Coley, never been a coordinator, never been a head coach in his entire existence. He has been coaching since
1978.
Yeah. And he's 65 years old, so it's never happened. He got his second interview today. Eric Bieniemy appears to be out. Maybe there's a Hail Mary, but that's where we sit right now as the search continues on Sports Radio 610. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Stanford Route joining the show at 1240.
Okay, so if you, according to McClain, if you thought Bieniemy still had a shot, a Hail Mary, if you will, it's not going to happen. Now, you've talked about the possibility of maybe the NFL will intervene or at least call and say, don't make us all look bad. You know, Eric Bieniemy has such a bigger wave of support around the NFL than these two guys. I wouldn't count on it, number one. And that's mainly because owners don't like to be told what to do. What it does tell you is this is a story, again, as always, over the last nearly 2 years, of Jack Easterby getting his way. You almost have to, like, tip your cap. You know, despite everything, speaking of waves, you know, the tsunami of anti-Bieniemy sentiment, not just by fans or us, but in the building and in the NFL, to be able to survive that and not only survive it, much less the Sports Illustrated article that was so damning, but to actually gain power and do more. And I said it earlier, if you're keeping score of who's against Jack Easterby's ways and who's for it, the score is about 7-2. But the two are Cal McNair and Jack Easterby, and they're winning. You got to almost tip your cap to him. But I'm just going to say it. This franchise has been set back at least a couple of years by Jack Easterby. It will be set back again if one of these two guys are hired. And the reason I say that, you laid it out. They've got good qualities. You can talk about pretty much any assistant head coach in the NFL, any coordinator in the NFL, and find some good qualities, right? You can say, well, maybe I could see where they would be interviewed to be a head coach. But in the situation that this franchise currently is in, with Deshaun Watson clearly upset and not happy with how the team is being run, with J.J. Watt probably going to be traded, with the cap hell that they're in, with the lack of draft picks, for Jack Easterby to still get his way, it's practically insane that we are living this. It's practically insane that we have to talk about this.
It's very clear what the sales pitch is going to be. And we've laid out, you know, what each candidate brings to the table. And we've cussed and discussed the pros and cons of every candidate. We've gotten to know Leslie Frazier recently. I wondered why David Coley was getting a second interview, because I didn't understand why he got a first. Mm-hmm. The Josh McCown interview made more sense than David Coley, because there's been more talk about Josh McCown being a head coach, and Josh McCown was actually offered an offensive coordinator position in recent years than David Culley. Josh McCown's already in the building, so that made sense. David Culley getting a second interview didn't make sense, but I'm kind of starting to see the light.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be pitched.
Pun intended.
That David Culley is going to be a part of Leslie Frazier's staff. They worked together in Philadelphia. They worked together in Buffalo. They've known each other for a long time. And it's going to be presented as, we really like both of these guys. We liked what both of them brought to the table. And, you know, it's just really good that when you can get two guys who it was really hard to decide from, and you get them both in the building, and those guys are both going to be part of our culture that we want to build here, it's great that we got both of them. And I think that's why David Culley got this second interview. Don't buy that crap, because if David Culley were good at what he was doing right now, John Harbaugh wouldn't let him go. There's a reason that Nick Caserio, for all the criticism and all the animosity Texans fans have about Nick Caserio, there's a reason that the Patriots didn't let him leave for a few years. He was at least an asset there. The pass game for the Ravens has been a disaster. The guy's best coaching days are behind him, and John Harbaugh's letting this guy go. They want to move on, and they want to take the next step. So don't let them go up there and tell you, whoever it is, that it was hard to decide between these two guys, and they're both in the building.
You know what Easterby is going to say about these two guys?
Mm-hmm. Leaders are leaders by actions, right? Mm-hmm. How you act, right? You can, you know, put somebody a C on their chest, or you can, you know, celebrate them in the media or publicly, but it's really about how they act day to day. And yeah. So I think what we've seen in camp so far, and I think Texans fans should be very excited about, is we've had some very intentional actions done
right,
by players.
That crap. Intentional actions, leaders by actions. We've got David Culley. We've got Leslie Frazier, which, by the way, I don't agree with you. I think it's going to be either or. I don't think Culley is going to be on.
You want to bet?
No, I see your point.
Why would he leave Baltimore, though?
Yeah, that's my thing.
They want him to.
Yeah.
Their passing game has been bad.
Right.
Like, they want to move on.
No. I think you make a solid point. I just don't agree with it. And maybe I'm wrong, so I'm not going to bet you. But either way, even if it's either of these two guys, that's the line of crap that Jack Easterby is going to talk. These are leaders by action. They fit our culture. They will serve this team. We are blessed to have them. It's going to be a load of crap. It always was. I'm actually kind of proud. Early on in the process, when Nick Caserio came here, I said on these airwaves, I thought it was preordained. I think this whole thing has been preordained. I think this is where they were going to end up from the very start, and Jack Easterby knew it. He knew it.
Well, and you also got to take into account, and again, this is just the reality of what we're dealing with. And I got to give Mike Fisher credit. Mm-hmm. Mike Fisher of Sports Illustrated, out there in Dallas, and he also covers the Texans.
He's a loophole.
He said Bob Lamont was the guy to watch in this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to when the Texans were interviewing guys, he said Bob Lamont was the guy to watch. And I just kind of dismissed it. But then at the last minute of the GM search, Nick Caserio gets hired.
Mm-hmm.
Then we find out that Tim Kelly is being blocked from interviewing for other jobs. Then now, as the coach search goes on, and we're throwing out all these names, Leslie Frazier looks like he's going to be the guy.
Yeah.
Bob Lamont represents Nick Caserio. He represents Tim Kelly. He represents Leslie Frazier. And, oh, by the way, he represents Jack Easterby. That right there is either the craziest coincidence of all time, or Bob Lamont and Jack Easterby are running the Texans. 713-572-4610 to get in. Let's go to Earl. Earl, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Terrible. Awful. What do you mean?
Well, at least it is a beautiful day outside.
It is. It is.
Yeah. Man, this whole Leslie Frazier thing, I like Leslie Frazier as a coach. I believe he's being set up, because I believe this whole Houston Texans project is about a 3-year project to get this team back to playoff contention. 2 years at best. he will never get to see any of his work come to fruition. He's going to lose this year. He's going to lose next year, and he'll be out the door. And then that's when you will see Jack Easterby really get the person, whoever it is, that he wants in. Maybe it's Josh McDaniels or someone like that. But Leslie Frazier is being brought in here to clean up whatever mess that is going on over there. And then he's going to be out the door just as quickly as Steve Wilkes, who was in Arizona.
Bo Porter. He'll be out you're in, talking in a about year, Bo year Porter. That's what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Exact. Thank you, John. Thank you. Because the exact same thing. He got the team to where they needed to be, but he never got to see any of his hard work come to fruition. And that will make Leslie, he will never get a head coaching job ever again. He will never even be considered. He was only considered for this one.
Yeah,
and it's only to clean up Houston's mess.
And I'm with you, Earl. I will say, though, you know, Leslie did have limited options, and Earl said that on the back end. Shout out to Earl for the phone call. I mean, they're the only team that considered Leslie Frazier. Mm-hmm. And I like Leslie, 61. I do think he was a
victim. It's unfair to them. That's the frustration. It's unfair to Leslie Frazier and or David Culley.
But he's at least getting a job, you know? Yeah. And I mean, in Minnesota, you could look at the quarterback situation with Leslie Frazier. He was forced to roll with Christian Ponder, and it wasn't the ideal situation. But you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, what is the root of the problem? You know, because you talk about the turmoil, and that's the word that was used on NFL Network. And there are tumultuous situations around the NFL, and a lot of times a coach does have to go fix it. But if the turmoil and the tumultuous situation stems from the top, then it's kind of a losing battle.
Mm-hmm.
I compared it to a dog pissing on the floor all over the house, and you just throw a newspaper on it.
Yeah.
Sure, it might soak it up for a little bit. It's still going to smell. There's still going to be a stench. Eventually, you're going to have to spray it. You're
going
to have to disinfect it, or you're going to have to keep the dog out of the house. So you're going to have to take the dog and get the dog trained. If the turmoil is at the top, then it doesn't matter what personality the coach has. It's a losing battle to fight, right, John?
Absolutely, but I really feel it just kind of occurred to me when we were listening there, but he's going to be like a Bo Porter. And the thing that scared me the most about his call is he said after he fails, whether it's Frazier or Culley, and Easterby is going to bring in the next guy that's going to be really his guy, that is presuming, and I think it's a safe presumption at this point, that Easterby is going to still survive this. Think about it. They could crater, and he's still going
to
be around.
713-572-4610 to get in. Let's go to Money Mike. Money Mike, what up?
What do you do? What do you do, fellas?
Hey.
Long time no hear from. I've been sitting back just listening to this bleep show for the last few months, and I haven't really wanted to call in because I didn't want Figgy to dump me. But before I get started and spit some wisdom to Cal McNair, you know, first of all, I'm a Packer fan first before I'm a Texan fan. So that's another story, though. I don't want to talk about that. But I do want the Texans to do well just because it's my home city. But it's a crying shame what this Silver Spoon jackass is doing to his dad's all his dad's hard work that he and money that he put in to get this city back a football team, and to have one man come in there and be a snake and ruin this whole team for this city is utterly ridiculous. And I tell you something else. You know, McClain used to always tell us, how much respect that Bob McNair had with the other owners and all that. And that was probably one of the reasons why I think we got two Super Bowls. But I can tell you right now, and a lot of people might not give a damn about it, but we will never, ever get another Super Bowl in this city as long as this jackass keeps doing what he's doing. That brings a lot of money to the city, and it's a pretty prestigious thing. But with that being said, I know Cal McNair listens, so I'm going to tell him something. The grass is green. The snakes are green. You can't really know them until you cut the grass. They are always beside you, but doesn't mean they are always for you. Good afternoon.
Those are words to live by right there. So in this scenario, who would be the snake?
Before I answer that question, let me take it away from this specific situation in sports.
Stanford route at 12:40. Coming up, some more reaction from the Loopholes. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are one. The head coach has the fans going nuts. It looks like it will likely be Leslie Frazier, although David Coley appears to be in the mix. But is the chaos just beginning? Do the Texans lack leverage when it comes to trading Deshaun Watson? An NFL Hall of Famer says yes. You'll hear from him next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
713-572-4610. I know a lot of people want to get in. Go ahead and get on in. 713-572-4610. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are one. Looks like Leslie Frazier or David Cole. David Cole.
You can't say that without laughing, can you?
Are the candidates for the Texans, per John McClain. Maybe there's going to be an Eric Bieniemy Hail Mary, but it looks like it's those two guys. I think it's going to be announced later this week. I think it's going to be Leslie Frazier, and I think David Coley is going to join his staff, and it's going to be sold as we're getting two guys that we really liked. Two guys that really add character to our team.
Get out of here.
That's what's going to be sold. Frustrating, I know. But is the frustration just beginning? Because what is Deshaun Watson going to think about this? That is the question. Could Deshaun Watson be headed to New York, where, according to the Miami Herald, he would like to play?
Mm-hmm.
Expand the brand, play for Robert Saleh. And if that trade is made, John McClain's thrown out four first-round picks in a second, which I'm intrigued by, quite honestly, because the number two overall pick would be part of that. And I think that would be a good chance to rebuild. And I think regardless of how great Deshaun is, you did go 4-12 last year, and the roster stinks around him.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a good opportunity, and that would be intriguing. And I would be on board with the four firsts and the second. But Richard Sherman, future Hall of Fame cornerback, of the Chris Collinsworth starring Richard Sherman podcast, said on this week's episode with Fred Warner that the Jets actually have the leverage when it comes to a potential trade. I thought this was interesting stuff from Richard Sherman. Before we get to your calls, here's what Richard Sherman had to say about a potential Deshaun Watson to New York trade.
So how much is too much to offer Houston to get him on your football team?
I don't think if I'm the Jets, I'm not offering multiple first round picks. I don't care. Because you don't have to, because it'd be foolish. It'd be idiotic of them to pass on the number two pick because of what the quarterback means to an organization. You get three first round picks from a team that's going to be picking in the mid 20s every year because they're a competitive team. If you're the Jets, you offer number two pick, a second rounder, and maybe a second rounder in future years, but that's it. That's it, honestly. If I'm giving you number two pick, why do I need to give you multiple years of picks? People saying, hey, they got to give 3 years worth, not when you have the number two pick.
It's interesting to me. I don't agree in general, but it's interesting to me because I could see Jack Easterby doing that. Well, Easterby and Casario. Hey, man, we're getting the number two pick. That's going to be our Deshaun Watson, and he's going to be on a rookie contract. You can sell that, right? The problem is, are we sure Zach Wilson or Justin Fields is going to be the answer? Is he going to be anything close to Deshaun Watson? That's what you're banking on. You're banking on your own acumen.
You sound like Fred Warner, because Fred Warner was on the show with Richard Sherman and Chris Collinsworth, and he said exactly what the OG had to say.
How about that?
Who doesn't have a choice out of the two, though, is what I want to hear.
Houston.
I don't think the Jets have a choice. Houston has won games in the past. The Jets haven't won anything. They're really trying to get something going. Is Zach Wilson or Justin Fields equivalent to a Deshaun Watson, I think, is the argument. You know, like, are you going to trade Deshaun Watson for, you know, for Zach Wilson or Deshaun Watson for Justin Fields? You know, but this is Deshaun Watson. We're talking about a top-of-the-line quarterback that's going to literally change their entire franchise single-handedly.
Now, that's a good point. Now, if it was just straight up Deshaun for the number two, then I would sense what he's saying. But when you trade a great player, whether it's Khalil Mack, whether it's Jalen Ramsey, and obviously these are different positions, you're not going to get someone as great as that guy. But if you do get a quarterback that's in the tier, let's say Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen with that number two pick, let's say whether it's the kid from BYU, whether it's the kid from Ohio State, whether it's the kid from North Dakota State, if you do get someone in that tier and you do get other pieces, then I think that's where the case will be made. But no, you're right. You're not going to get Deshaun Watson with that number two overall selection.
You have to bank on your own ability to find another Deshaun Watson when you couldn't even find a running back.
Or build the team to where you don't need a Deshaun Watson, to where you can win with a less tier quarterback. That's what you would bank on. I tend to think that you would get a few first-round picks, including that number two and some more with said trade, but Richard Sherman does not think that the leverage is as high as it is. It'll be interesting to see if that comes to fruition and if, you know, the Texans hire Leslie Frazier. As soon as that happens, then all eyes are going to be on Deshaun. And all eyes might be on Deshaun right now, but that'll be another step in the process. And that'll probably be the thing that the Texans need to figure out before the draft, really, because I do think that you're not going to get a better offer than that number two overall selection, even though it's not going to be Deshaun Watson. You're not going to be assured that you get an asset like that.
I mean, just think about it this way. I get Richard Sherman's point. If you're able to get another Deshaun Watson on a rookie contract, that is a win, right? Here's the problem. You're expecting the team that traded DeAndre Hopkins, the team that gave all those picks for Laremy Tunsil, the team that brought in David Johnson, the team that brought in Eric Murray, the team that did all these things with the cap that ruined it. You're expecting them, even though it's Nick Caserio and not Bill O'Brien, it is still Jack Easterby, you're expecting them to find another Deshaun Watson. Spoiler alert, not going to happen. I don't have any confidence in him.
713-572-4610 to get in. Let's get right into it. We'll go to you. Just sound off here on Sports Radio 610. Stanford Brout going to sound off in about 10 minutes. Jonathan, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going? Long time caller. Season ticket since year one. And I don't know what to think about our football team anymore. The religion is taking over the city of Houston and the Texans. They should be renamed the Crusaders. If they hire Leslie Frazier, how is this not seen as a long haul to get Josh McCown as the head coach in 2 to 3 years? He fits what Easterby wants. He fits what Cal McNair wants, what everybody other than the fans and everybody that's a football fan wants. Explain that.
See, I'm not against Josh McCown being the head coach in 3 or 4 years. I actually like Josh McCown, and I've liked him for a few years. That's not a new thing. But maybe I don't know if they're really playing chess here. I think they're just hiring the most comfortable guy. I hope that they're not hiring this guy with thoughts that they're going to already be setting up the next coach. I think that would be kind of a recipe for disaster. I don't know about that theory.
Well, I don't know about it either. But what the problem is you are setting up Leslie Frazier to fail if it is Leslie Frazier. Just with everything I just mentioned, cap and picks, et cetera, and a disgruntled quarterback that we don't know if he's going to be able to hop on board with you or not. So you are setting him up to fail, and it would be on the board if Josh McCown hangs around that he would be the next coach.
Jim, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hi. I think what you're going to see this year, you're not going to get Leslie Frazier. Why would he leave the situation he is to come to work for the Texans?
To be a head coach. 713-572-4610 to get in. Bill, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Go, Bill.
Go, Bill.
Sorry, Bill.
Bill O'Brien. He was pissed. Yeah. Mr. Rochelle, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Thank you for having me. Let me say, first of all, that I've been a Texans fan since day one, but there is a reptilian force that exists within the Texas organization. We all know who it is, and we fans are being shortchanged. The basic Texans brief is, we care more about a man who makes $3 million than a quarterback who's shown his dedication, his empathy, his spirit to this city. And we gave him a contract for over $100 million. And yet, a man that makes $3 million is making decisions. Last but not least, let me leave you with this. This gentleman says he's a pastor or whatever you want to call him. Remember in the Bible that the very person who betrayed Jesus was one of his angels. I'm out.
Man, getting deep. That, which
wisdom
right
Nobody's
there.
Nobody's talking about
man
that.
Right there, Mr. Rochelle. Shout out to Loophole, Mr. Rochelle, bringing it.
All that was in the dark shall come to light. Something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not the guy to ask.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the gist of it.
It's the gist.
Yeah.
It's a summary. Seems to be a theme here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, 713-572-4610 to get in. All signs point to Leslie Frazier. All signs also point to former NFL cornerback, my frenemy, Stanford Routes. His weekly visit, one of the best ones that we have at Sports Radio 610. Guess what? Next.
And guess what?
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
713-572-4610 to get in. Leslie Frazier, David David Coley.
Who?
It looks like are the two finalists for the Texans head coaching job. I just don't think David Coley is going to get this gig. I think it's going to be sold as this guy was a guy we really liked, and he's going to be on Leslie Frazier's staff. So we got not one, but two guys that really fit our culture. That's how it's going to be sold. That's the sell.
It's on the table. It's reasonable. I just don't think that's what's going to happen. I think Coley would either get the job or go back to Baltimore. But you're right. I mean, you make a good, solid point. They may not want him back in Baltimore, and he may end up taking this no matter what. Head coach or not, I should say.
It is WSW here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Stanford Brout joins us right now for his weekly visit. Stanford Brout, how you doing, man?
Guys, what's going on, man? You know I'm always happy to come on with you guys.
Looking at the news, looks like it's a two-man battle right now. Leslie Frazier and
who?
David Coley.
Who?
Took the words right out of my mouth. Like, who? Like, but, I mean, just last week, wasn't Josh McCown, like, wasn't his name, like, also being thrown around in the mix as well? So it really just does not surprise me at all. But Leslie Frazier, D coordinator, has been a head coach in this league before. I'll take that. I think you could do a whole lot worse. So if it's Leslie Frazier, I definitely won't poo-poo that selection by any stretch of the imagination.
You know, you just said something that I get your intent was good, but I think it's also a commentary on where the Texans are. You said, well, I guess I'll take that. I mean, you got Deshaun Watson, dude. You know, you got Deshaun Watson. You're like, well, I guess I'll settle for that. I'll have vanilla. You know, I'd rather have a smorgasbord, a parfait, if you will, of something big time. And that leads to my point of Eric Bieniemy. People, some of them on our text board are still like, I refuse to believe it. I still believe Eric Bieniemy is going to be a part of this, and he's going to be the head coach. According to John McClain, he's not. It's down to these two guys. How does Eric Bieniemy go another year without getting a head coaching job when he's sitting on a tee right there for the Texans?
Well, I think in a broad sense, J-Lo, I'm not sure why he still has not gotten a head coaching job. But in the next breath, I've been told by several people involved like in head coaching searches and things like that that there's a part of the process within the head coaching search where you have to be able to walk into a billionaire's office and sell him on why you should run his multi-billion dollar corporation, which is an NFL team. And it still comes down to being able to sell yourself. I don't know what goes on in those interviews. I don't know what they ask the candidates. I have no idea. But sometimes I do wonder, does Eric Bieniemy sometimes not say the right thing within these interviews? So, I mean, because we see Arthur Smith to the Atlanta Falcons. We see Sala to the New York Jets. We see Staley to the Los Angeles Chargers. We see, God, the guy from the assistant head coach.
Brandon Staley.
And the tight ends coach.
Dan Campbell.
Oh, yeah, Dan Campbell.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, come on. He's never even been a coordinator, but he got the interim head coaching job for Miami back in, what was it, 2015, 2014, something like that. So you just wonder, is this more of a, does he not say the right thing in the interview process as to why he doesn't seem to get these head coaching jobs? Now, when you get to the Houston Texans, I still go back to the same thing once again. You have to be able to match the type of mindset and the philosophy of a Bob McNair, in which now it's a Cal McNair. You have to be able to match that. And if you don't, regardless of what your resume is going to go ahead and allude to, you just won't be a part of what they feel fit this culture in this town.
Stanford Brout with us here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. It's interesting you say that about Bieniemy, because I kind of compare it to Bruce Arians, who didn't interview the best. And quite honestly, he had to wait 20 years in the NFL despite winning a Super Bowl as a coordinator to get a job. And I don't know that he gets one if Chuck Pagano doesn't get cancer and he, you know, gets coach of the year. I compare it to that. And I wonder, and I think you can relate to this as an athlete, a lot of times the noise, even if it does seem like it's pro you, a lot of time the noise can be your biggest enemy. Because if people are telling you how great you are and you deserve this and you deserve this, a lot of time you start feeling it, and it maybe takes away from things that you should be doing and extra efforts that you should be making to get a job. Because I've heard that about Bieniemy too, and I just wonder that with all this noise and all of this stuff going on with people telling him that he deserves a job and you should have this job, if he's going into these interviews with the same energy that he should have, or he's just over the process like everyone else is. Because I'm with you. There has to be something else to it, especially with, you know, the Texans and everyone else. There has to be a little bit more to it than what people are saying.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Landry. I'm not sure what it is. Like I said, I've never been in those types of meet rooms where they're actually interviewing a head coach or anything like that. So all I can do is just go and just speculate, just like you are, and just go ahead and use some of my experiences and actually go ahead and try to lend a helping hand to trying to decide or decipher exactly all of this mess. Because when I see the Dan Campbell get hired again to now be a head coach for the Detroit Lions, and he's never even been a coordinator, it's one of those things that you do not exactly know what the criteria is at becoming a head coach or even being hired as a head coach, because it seems like it's such a obscure type of window to actually go ahead and look through. It seems like it's very foggy, and it's all based on just objectivity and just how one wants to view it, simply because some guys are really, really good coordinators. Then obviously they become head coaches. Some guys, we see Joe Judge, he was a special teams coach for the New England Patriots, but apparently they feel that he's great to run that franchise. So you sometimes wonder, is there just a clear-cut, cookie-cutter way to becoming a head coach, or is it just something that, you know what, you just need to be the most liked by a lot of the owners, and they'll go ahead and hire you?
Well, I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking of something that you often say, that the Texans, even more so now with Jack Easterby running the thing, like players from Katy, not from Yates. That also fits, I mean, because this isn't a race thing. You're talking about the type of person, because they're going to hire an African-American coach if it's Leslie Frazier or David Culley. They're both African-American. So it's not a matter of, like, when you say they like the kind of players from Katy, not from Yates, that also means they would like and prefer a coach who would coach Katy, not one who would coach Yates, correct?
Absolutely. Now, J-Lo, you're articulating it very, very well. I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to put it in blunt layman's terms. And I hope I don't receive a whole lot of pushback from people up top from what I'm about to say. At the end of the day, this is the ugly truth about it. You need to be somebody that the majority of the fan base, the majority of, you know, the boosters, the people that want to go and always have the season ticket sales, this, that, and the other. You need to be someone who is not looked at as a threat. And I don't mean a threat to take someone else's job. Mm-hmm. I don't mean that type of threat. You got to be somebody that doesn't look like a threat. That's the ugly truth about it. That's what a lot of people won't say, but that's just ultimately what it is. So, yeah. So, like what you just said about being from Katy and not from Yates High School, absolutely great articulation. But the ultimate truth is that right there is the common denominator, and that's the delineation of exactly how you're going to decipher between the two. Which one looks like a threat when they walk into a room, and which one looks like, oh, you know what? I don't feel as threatened whenever he enters the room.
The problem I have with that, Stan, and I get what you're saying, and I love the insight because you've been in that building. Stanford Rout, former NFL cornerback, during his weekly visit here on Sports Radio 610, is I think maybe there was a time where maybe that was true if you're going to say the fan base. But this is one of the most diverse cities in the entire country. And I talk to fans, we talk to listeners from all walks of life, whether they're at River Oaks Country Club, whether they're at a dive bar where it's dollar beers and it smells like piss, they all seem to want the same thing and they all have the same trust issues. So I feel like this country club that you're referring to, I don't feel like it exists as much from the fan base. And I just wonder who exactly they're trying to satisfy with this, because it seems like the overwhelming majority do not quite understand what the Texans are doing and are not on board. So it almost seems like it's an even smaller circle that they're trying to please more so than a fan base, which may have been the case a long time ago.
I mean, that could be the case. I mean, that very well could be the case, Landry. I think that when you talk about exactly who are they trying to satisfy or who are they trying to please, maybe it could just be the elite of the elite of the elite as far as the fan base. The people that have the suite holders, the season ticket holders, those people, the people that really are lending and pulling Cal McNair's ear, the ones like the Jack Easterbys of the world, people like that. I don't know everything. I'm not going to sit up here and try to lie and make it seem like I do. All I can do is go off of what I've seen. I can go off the things that I've heard. And then when I go ahead and I see certain moves that are made, I ask myself, make it make sense. And I just go ahead and use this, in my 37 years of living on this planet and all my knowledge and experiences of living in the South, in the state of Texas. So that's really all that I come out on as far as all that goes. I think it's probably just something having to do with a certain demographic, maybe the elite of the elite of the fan base, or just simply pleasing everybody within the front office and the views that they have when it comes to who they think should be leading a franchise, maybe how they think mentally, how they look physically. Maybe even something having to do with their religion, their philosophy on politics. I'm not sure. But it always does appear that it's not solely based on, can this guy run the franchise? Is this guy a top-notch offensive coordinator / defensive coordinator at the previous team that he was on? And is he the type of guy that can go ahead and lead this team over the hump to get this team to the Super Bowl championship? Because like I said a couple weeks ago, and like I've told you guys before plenty of times, it's only about 11 teams in the NFL that are trying to win a championship right now. The other teams just want to be relevant. They want to make good money. They want to make revenue and things like that. But there's only about 11 teams that are trying to win a title.
The other factor here, and you're well aware of it, is Deshaun Watson's unhappiness, frustration, whatever it may be. I mean, franchise quarterback, and you got all these guys out there that have been hired, Robert Saleh and Brandon Staley, and we know the whole list. How is he reacting to David Culley, a nomad, you know, a nomadic assistant coach who's never even been a coordinator? How is he reacting to this possibility?
I would imagine he definitely is watching the TV screen like everybody else, wondering WTF, you know what I mean when I say that. And, you know, I think that we clearly see that they botched this entire mess. And more than likely, it seems like Deshaun Watson will not be a Houston Texan for much, much longer. I hope that he's going to be in Houston for the remainder of his career. But who knows? We just got to go ahead and sit back and watch this debacle play out. I still wonder that, I mean, okay, if David Culley's on the list, I mean, why isn't Don Martindale? We used to call him Wink back when he was a linebackers coach in Oakland. Why the hell isn't he on the list? He's put together a very nice defense for the Baltimore Ravens for the past couple of years, but I digress. I think that you definitely have to make sure that you get this right, and you better make sure that you do something, Cal McNair, because you got a franchise quarterback, you got a transcendent player, and you've already dropped the ball once. And you've tried calling him. He ain't even answering your calls. He's leaving you on red. All the people on Instagram and, you know, WhatsApp and have iPhones know what it means to leave somebody on scene. I just think that you got to find a way to try to salvage this. You still have a little bit of time. You can go ahead and request an interview with somebody that you have not even interviewed already to this point. Mm-hmm. If it really means of getting out from under, throwing yourself under the bus like this. But nonetheless, Cal McNair has to do something. But if you're just asking my own opinion, I think Cal McNair is of the mindset that I'm the owner. What I say goes. You just shut up. You play football. I'll handle it. And you know what? I'm the owner. You're the player. I pay you. You throw the ball. I'll make the decisions. And we'll go ahead and meet in the middle.
Stanford Rout with us for his weekly visit, showing that he has a grasp of petty high school activities, leaving messages left on red here on Sports Radio 610. Stan, I want to get into the rest of the division, because we're going to have all the time in the world to talk about Deshaun Watson, the coaching hire. Hell, next time we talk, there might be a head coach. But I just want to talk about Matthew Stafford and the possibility of him arriving in the division in Indianapolis. Matthew Stafford to the Indianapolis Colts would mean what?
I think it'll mean you'll have another gunslinger within the division. You'll have somebody that has probably one of the top three strongest arms in the NFL, from what I've always been told. I don't think that you're going to see all of a sudden Indianapolis be a Super Bowl contender, where they're contending with the Chiefs, where they're contending with the Packers, the Bucks. I think Matthew Stafford has all the tools, no doubt about it, but Matthew Stafford is still not yet to prove that, okay, I can actually lead a franchise to the promised land. We get it, Detroit, it's an abomination of a franchise. They're completely inept. We've all seen that. But Matthew Stafford still did have, at one point in time, Megatron. Still had at one point in time, Ndamukong Suh. Still had at one point in time, Reggie Bush in the backfield. Still had at one point in time a nucleus of players who actually are good at the game of football, has been in the playoffs, just never actually got that proverbial first playoff win. So I don't think Matthew Stafford to the Indianapolis Colts is a seal of doomsday for everyone else in the AFC South.
Man, I do.
You think way lower of him than I do.
Yeah, I with that defense alone – and the weapons that he has, he didn't have anything close to what he has in Indianapolis, or would have in Indianapolis.
Now, definitely a better offensive line going to the Indianapolis Colts, leaving the Detroit Lions. No question. But name a player on the Indianapolis Colts that is better than that guy that used to wear jersey number 81, played for the Lions.
Oh, I get that. And I'm sure that's something that they're going to address. But I think, you know, he had Reggie Bush, but at what point did he have Reggie Bush, you know, and you would have Jonathan Taylor here
Naeem Hines.
And Naeem Hines and decent, but now he would have decent tight ends. Look, I mean, that's just a difference of opinion, but he would definitely elevate the prospects. Maybe I should just ask, would he elevate the prospects higher than what they had with Phillip Rivers?
And maybe this might be me being a homer when I say this. I don't think Matthew Stafford's a better quarterback than Phillip Rivers. Obviously, Phillip Rivers has been on the decline over the last several years because Father Time is undefeated, no question about that. But when I think of Matthew Stafford, the decision-making, the accuracy, when I think of things like that, the anticipation, being able to will your team to certain victories that they shouldn't have
won.
Fourth
quarter comebacks.
Exactly. I still don't think that he can elevate them higher than Phillip Rivers did, and especially not Andrew Luck, simply because, not because Matthew Stafford's not a good quarterback. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I don't see Matthew Stafford in between the ears. Not anything to do with his talent, not anything to do with the arm strength, accuracy, all that. At some point, we all know that quarterbacking has to do with what's in between the ears. Can you anticipate this window being open? Can you go ahead and make this throw over that linebacker underneath the safety? Can you will your team to a victory simply because I didn't necessarily have the best talent. I didn't have all the tools, but I simply just found a way to win. Kind of like how you see Tom Brady threw three goddamn interceptions in the second half against Aaron Rodgers and still found a way to come out with that victory. Boggles my mind. So when I think of things like that, that's why I'm not ready to just go ahead and say I think that Matthew Stafford can elevate Indy past the point of where Phillip Rivers and Andrew Luck were able to get them.
Stanford Brout with us for his weekly visit here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Stanford, don't leave me on red, man. Don't leave me on red. I know what you're up to
hey,
now.
You know, hey, man, you know I love you guys. Yeah. You know I love you guys. But, hey, let me tell you something. There are some people, I definitely leave them on scene. There no question.
There it is. Stanford Brout with us, one of the best. Stan, we appreciate you, man.
You guys be good, man. Talk to you next week.
There you go. That is the Medium Plus Eating, Instagram Flexing, former NFL cornerback, Stanford Rout, right here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. It's down to two. But are the Texans really going to pick both of them? I'll give you the latest. Plus, let's go around the NFL. Aaron Rodgers leaving Green Bay? Not so fast, my friend. That's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.